Moses sees the burning bush. He approaches with great humility, and he encounters the living God, as we heard, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Moses asks, "Well, what is your name?" And God says, "I am." Keep in mind, to reveal one's name really makes one vulnerable. It gives us identity, so people know us by our name. When someone knows our name, we can enter into a relationship with that person. So God, in revealing his name to Moses, allows Moses and his people to enter into that covenant relationship with him. But what a mysterious name. God says, "I am." "I am" tries to grasp the eternity of God, a God who is, a God who has, who always was, is now, always will be. "I am" tries to grasp the infinity of God, that God has no bounds, no limits. "I am" tries to grasp the constancy of God, that God is truth, goodness, wisdom, beauty, and justice. "I am" truly captures the life-giving power of God, who made us in his image and likeness, and who has formed a covenant with his people. So, "I am." With that, Moses has his own heart now burning, and he's going to go to Pharaoh to do God's will, to release the Jewish people from slavery and eventually bring them to the promised land. Keep in mind two important points here. One is that that term, that name, "I am," if you look in the Missal as you were reading, or if you look in sacred scripture, always three capital letters. In Hebrew, this is Yahweh. It's God's sacred name. Also here, we have just a glimpse of the Holy Trinity. For the Father speaks his word, the Son, to Moses. The fire is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, just as the Holy Spirit descended with tongues of fire upon the apostles at Pentecost. So a glimpse of the Holy Trinity in all. Moses encountered the living God. Jesus, though, is the perfect encounter with the living God. By the will of the Father, Jesus entered this world. During this time of Lent, within our hearts should be burning the beautiful words of our Lord, who said, "The Father so loved the world that he gave his only Son, not to condemn, but to give everlasting life to those who believe." So by the will of the Father, Jesus, true God, the Word of the Father, entered this world becoming true man through Mary, who had conceived by the Holy Spirit. As St. John so beautifully wrote in his prologue of the Gospel, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of an only begotten Son, filled with enduring love and truth." So, my brothers and sisters, Christ is that living encounter with God. Becoming true man, he perfectly revealed God's life, God's love to us. He showed us how to live that life and live in that love, for after all, he entered into this human condition in all things but sin. He knows our joys, our sorrows, our successes, our failures, our hopes, our disappointments. Jesus knows it all. That living encounter, though, climaxes when he goes to the cross. And there, he who is true God takes on the burden of all mankind to himself, the burden of sin, offers the sacrifices, frees us from sin with his blood, makes the new covenant by his blood. Through the resurrection, he offers the hope of everlasting life. So the living encounter with God. Actually, in the Gospel, Jesus makes this known. We read in the Gospel, remember, I am, three capital letters. Jesus saying, before Abraham came to be, I am. When talking of his passion, death, and resurrection to the apostles, he said, I tell you this now, before it takes place, so that when it does, you may believe, I am. To the Pharisees, when I am lifted up, you will see that I am. In speaking to sinners, he said, you will surely die in your sins unless you come to believe that I am. Add to this, though, other identifiers. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the life and the resurrection. I am the bread of life come down from heaven. So, my brothers and sisters, Christ is the living encounter with God. This Lent, you and I are called to encounter the living Christ. That's the real key. After all, our life is fast-paced, many responsibilities, we can become overly busy. This is why Lent's so important, the sacred period of time where we pause and reevaluate our lives, reprioritize, reorient, but most importantly, we encounter the living presence of Christ. How to do this? Well, the best way is what we're doing right now, the Holy Mass. Yes, we've heard the beautiful words of sacred scripture, the living word of God. In a few moments, though, the priest offers the sacrifice. So in an unbloody way, he offers the sacrifice that participates in the ever-living reality of our Lord's Last Supper, his sacrifice on the cross, his resurrection, and his ascension. Bread and wine are transubstantiated into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord. Christ comes to us. How our hearts ought to be burning to receive him. As we prepare for Holy Communion, we ought to keep in mind the words that Jesus said, I am the bread of life come down from heaven. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood will have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up on the last day. Of course, as we ponder these words, if any of us were conscious of a mortal sin, we need to go to confession before we can receive communion. The mortal sin would block the grace. But in all, our hearts should be burning to think that Christ is coming to dwell within us. After we receive Holy Communion, then we need to pause to really give thanks back in our pew, but allow that burning sensation to grow like the flaming bush. If we just like walked away or let our mind go distracted, it's like having a candle newly lit and allowing the wind to blow it out. Instead, we have to allow that gift of grace to inflame itself within our hearts. Beyond Mass, though, during this time of Lent, I encourage you to make a sacrifice of time to come to church, this church, when it's quiet, and pray before our Lord truly present in the Blessed Sacrament. I encourage you especially on Thursdays, because Thursday we have adoration after the 8:30 Mass, going all the way up to our holy hour at 7:30, when we pray Vespers, have time for confession, and finally benediction. This is such a beautiful time, though, to take time to just be with our Lord, to be in his presence, to walk in his presence, just as Moses did with that burning bush. When we think, then, of coming to this church, make the time. Make an appointment for God. You know, we make appointments. I'm sure some of you have a regular time when you go to the gym, or maybe it's a regular time when you have a doctor's appointment, or a hair appointment, a tutoring session, whatever it may be. Make a regular appointment this Lent, especially on a Thursday. Every Thursday, at least once a week, to come to be with our Lord. Spend a half hour if you can. Better spend an hour. And what to do in that time? Well, one thing is start by just saying the regular formal prayers, like the Our Father, very slowly, deliberately. Those prayers help us to settle down, clear our minds, put ourselves in the presence of Almighty God. But then we could, like, read a passage of sacred scripture, maybe read a gospel passage, read one of the Psalms, and meditate on it. Consider, today we had Psalm 103, and here we recall the Lord is kind and merciful. He forgets not all his benefits. He pardons our iniquity. He heals our ills. He crowns us with kindness and compassion. What beautiful words that all of us need to take to heart. We could say the rosary. Pope St. John Paul II always encouraged the faithful to say the rosary before the Blessed Sacrament. He said that because by saying the rosary, we meditate on the different mysteries of our Lord's life, looking at the Eucharistic face of Jesus, the face of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, and through the eyes of Mary. Mary, that woman of faith. So that's a good consideration. Also, I encourage you just to let your heart speak to our Lord. That's so important. As we're here in that quiet time, just to talk with our Lord. He's revealed his name. He knows us by name. To talk with him, to share our gratitude, to pray for our loved ones, to share our burdens, maybe even to ask the question, why? Why things happen? We all know we face tough times, tough situations, times of real trial, and we ask why. In our gospel passage, there were those that asked, well, why is it that Pilate mixed the blood with the sacrifices and those people died? What did they do? Or why did the tower fall on a group of people? What did they do? Well, we know we live in this world and natural disasters happen. Why the tornadoes this week that killed some people in Virginia or destroyed people's homes? Or why do evil people, or why are they allowed to commit such awful crimes? Like this morning, as I was shaving, I was listening to the news, and I heard that an officer in Prince William County, first day on the job, went to a domestic abuse kind of case and was shot dead. Why? Why does this happen? Well, we might not ever know the answer to the why, poor little human beings that we are. God has the bigger picture. But as St. Paul says, for those who love God, everything works out for good. When we allow our heart to talk to the heart of our Lord, we can rest assured we might not get all the answers to the whys, but we get the answer of love. And the love allows us to keep going. One of my favorite saints is St. Camillus de Lillis, sort of a funny name for a saint. But St. Camillus, at one time in his life, was a mercenary, a chronic gambler. He was wounded in battle, had a diseased leg that he had to live with for the rest of his life, but went through a conversion. He lived in the 1500s. And his conversion was that he dedicated himself to caring for the sick and the dying in Rome. Sort of like a Mother Teresa of that time. So he would go through the streets of Rome. Eventually he founded a community of priests and brothers to continue the work. But one day he was just so overwhelmed, just exhausted, and just feeling discouraged by this insurmountable burden. So he was praying at the altar rail, gazing at the tabernacle, and all of a sudden, our Lord appeared. And our Lord appeared with his heart aflame. And our Lord said to him, my faint-hearted son, do not be discouraged. Continue the work you have begun. You will succeed because I will be with you. With that, St. Camillus' own heart was set ablaze, and he went back to doing his work. So my brothers and sisters, for good reason, the saints knew the power, the flaming love of the Blessed Sacrament. Saints of our own times, like Pope St. John Paul II, Mother Teresa, Archbishop Fulton Sheen, all spent 1 hour each day praying before the Blessed Sacrament. Take that time. Make the sacrifice of time. If you do, then I guarantee you, you will encounter the presence of the living God. And with that presence burning within our own heart, then when we celebrate Easter, we'll truly know the presence of the risen Christ. May God bless you.